Chapter 3. Back to Hever Castle. I remember when King Henry noticed Anne for the first time. It was during the Shrove Tuesday celebrations. Every year, the Queen's ladies-in-waiting organised the celebrations. Usually there were prayers and singing, but this time Anne Boleyn added dancing to the festivities. When the ladies began to dance, everybody watched Anne because she was the best dancer. Compared with the Queen's other ladies, Anne was like an exotic bird. Next to her, all the other ladies looked like grey pigeons. I observed the audience watching the ceremony. Queen Catherine looked only at Mary. Her eyes burned with hate and anger. I could not understand her hostility until I saw Mary's diamond necklace. I remembered all the nights Mary didn't sleep in the Queen's apartments. "She's carrying the King's baby," I thought to myself. "That is the reason the Queen hates her." Then I looked at the King. Much to my surprise, he was staring at Anne as if she was the most beautiful woman in the world. But he wasn't the only man looking at Anne. Young Henry Percy and Thomas Wyatt were also staring at my young mistress. After Shrove Tuesday, Percy and Wyatt soon became frequent visitors to the Queen's apartments. Before this, the Queen and her ladies spent their time praying and sewing, and the atmosphere wasn't much fun. However, when Henry Percy came to visit, they laughed, sang, and sometimes danced. Anne was very happy, and I could see she loved Henry Percy. But others were not pleased by this, especially Cardinal Wolsey. Henry Percy was a servant of Cardinal Wolsey, and the Cardinal had important plans for the young man. Anne Boleyn's family was noble and rich, but not rich enough for Wolsey. I remember there was one night Anne and Percy were walking in the gardens. When they returned, Anne's face shone with happiness. She pulled me into a room and whispered, "Meg, I'm in love. Percy and I are engaged to be married, and I'm very happy." I wanted to believe in Anne's happiness, but then I thought about the Cardinal and had a bad feeling. Unfortunately, I was correct. The next day we were sitting and sewing in the Queen's apartments. Suddenly, Anne's father appeared. "Come, daughter," he said, "get your things together. I'm taking you back to Hever Castle immediately."
"Father, what is this?" asked Anne in surprise. "Why should I return home?"
"These are Cardinal Wolsey's orders, daughter," her father replied. "Don't ask any more questions. Just pack your things and be ready to leave within the hour."
"But first I must tell Percy," Anne said.
"Don't be stupid, Anne," said Sir Thomas. But Anne was not listening. She ran out of the room and I didn't know what to do.
"Don't stand there like an idiot, girl," Sir Thomas shouted at me. "Start to pack my daughter's things."
There wasn't much to pack. Anne only had 3 dresses and some shoes. I put them in a box and then waited for my mistress to return. Finally, she came into the room. Her face was very pale.
"Percy has left, Meg," she said. "He didn't leave a note for me, and nobody will tell me anything. I know that Cardinal Wolsey did this terrible thing. He didn't think that I was good enough for Percy. Well, I'll show him."
During the journey home, Anne sat in the carriage with me and cried all the way. Back at Hever Castle, Anne locked herself in her room and didn't want food or drink. We didn't see her for days, and we were all very worried about her. Then a messenger arrived at the castle with a message for Anne, and I ran to give it to her. Anne opened her door to receive the message. She looked like a ghost. She took the note from my hand and shut the door immediately. After a moment, I heard a terrible shout and ran into the room. Anne was on the floor, crying. She threw the note into the fire and looked at me.
"He married Mary Talbot, Meg," she cried. "They made him marry her. Cardinal Wolsey won this time, but I will never forgive him. One day, he will be very sorry he hurt me.